A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Young Israel of Cherry Hill. Today's Daf Barachas Chav, Test 29A, pagination page 57. You could join us. Good morning. We're going to start on the facing page to get into it. So we're starting on Chav Ches Amud Beis, 28B on the bottom, which is pagination page 56. We're starting 5 lines from the bottom, in the middle of the line, Hani Tamni Surei, which means these are 18. And our topic is, how many brachas are there actually in Shmona Esrei? This is the great misnomer, if you will, where we call it Shmona Esrei 18. And obviously there was a lot of corresponding when the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah made it to the heavenly realms. And apparently 18 is a very specific number corresponding to the right things. But if you go and you count, you'll find there are 18 blessings. So what's the number if it's not the number? And this Gemara is the introduction to that topic of the history which required them to add an additional blessing towards the middle of Shmona Esrei. Traditionally, the way it's understood is that it's referring to the early Christians who would malign the Jews to the Roman authorities, try to get people into trouble. And it was common for them to be part of the Jewish community and also undercover agents at the same time. A little bit like a messianic type situation where they're in the congregation, but they're against the congregation. And they made a very specific bracha over here. And the Gemara says, Hani tamni sri tishtari havyan. If you count, it's supposed to be 18. Shmona Esrei means 18, and you actually find 19. Amar Ablevi, Birchas HaTzedukim BeYavne Tiknuha. They legislated the bracha of Tzedukim, people who believe in the written law and not in the oral law, in Yavne, meaning post Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash, when they gathered in Yavne. That's where they legislated this new blessing, and they added it into the prayer. Kinegin mi teknuha, the Gemara asks, it has to correspond to the right things, and the Gemara explains how it corresponds, just like the first 18 corresponded. Let's skip to the next line. The first word on the line, Shebeshedra, 2 dots, and now we have a story. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned. Shimon Apkuli, Shimon, the cotton merchant, Hister Yudches Brachas Lefnei Rabban Gamliel Al Haseder BeYavne. He organized the 18 brachas. He knew the corresponding aspects. He organized it, and it was official. Originally, this is from the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. You have to clarify exactly what Shimon HaPikuli added, but that's the way the Gemara presents it. Now, as an aside, if we understand the word Pikuli as meaning cotton merchant, so this is just another affirmation that there were many, many, many Talmidei Chachamim who had jobs on the side, so to speak, but in essence they were big Talmidei Chachamim and they were leaders of the generation. One does not preclude the other. Omar Lohem Rabbi Gamliel LaChachamim, Rabbi Gamliel said to the Chachamim, we have to legislate a new bracha, Rabbi Gamliel said. And as we mentioned yesterday, he was the leader of the generation post-Churban. He had a major position in the Jewish world, and he said, we're under attack from the inside. We need to legislate a special bracha, and as we'll see, part of the function of this bracha was not just the prayer, but that if someone would get up to lead the congregation and would refuse to say this bracha, which was against those who were slandering the Jews to the authorities. That was the text of the bracha, v'lam al shinim, and to the slanderers. Al ti sikva, there should not be hope. Hashem should do away with them. because they're ruining us from the inside, Rachmana Litzlan. So he says, who's going to legislate it? Amad Shmuel HaKatan V'tikna. Shmuel HaKatan, the small one, stood up and he legislated it. He knew the right text, he knew how to write it. Now I heard from my Rebbe, he was very fond of saying, that why is it of all people to legislate Berachas HaTzedukim, it's a person by the name of Shmuel HaKatan, Shmuel the Small. You know, I guess today Small is a legitimate last name. But if you think about it, the name Small is a very odd name. I'm the small one. And my Rebbe used to be fond of explaining that apparently this Shmuel was a very humble person. He was known as the small one, the one with equanimity, the person who you could insult and he kept his cool. And he's the right person for this blessing, because this blessing is going to be very, very sharp and caustic against a segment of human beings. And you don't want a hothead to make such a blessing. You want the right person. Just like doing surgery, you don't want a person who's a violent person to be your surgeon. You want a person who's in control of himself. And that's this Shmuel HaKatan. You find that, by the way, also by Pinchas. There's some people who like to learn Pinchas is a wild person. He kills. But that's not correct. If you look, Pinchas, firstly, it's recorded very specifically that he asked Moshe Rabbeinu before he did what he did. Anyone who can ask, who's in control of himself and doesn't do it until he's told authorization, that's a big sign. And secondly, afterwards, what blessing does he get? The blessing of peace, the blessing that's meaningful to him. A person who wants children, you give him a blessing of children. A person who wants wealth, you give him a blessing of wealth. A person who wants peace, this is what he wanted. He didn't want this to become the hallmark of the Jewish people, that anyone we don't like, we kill. Very specifically, it was an isolated case, and the blessing given to him is the one that he wants, which is shalom. That's the kind of person who can legislate this blessing. And for homework, definitely go pay attention to the bracha. You'll see very specifically weighted how it's worded. L'shona acheres, the Gemara continues, the next year, shakcha, they forgot the text. The hishkif go onto today's blot, and they thought about it, they analyzed it, shtayim v'shalosh shaos, 2 or 3 hours, v'lo he'eluhu, and even though he was stuck, he didn't know the text, they did not remove him. And the Gemara is going to ask, how could they not remove him? We know there's a rule that if a person doesn't say v'la malshinim, we remove him because we feel he probably doesn't want to say this prayer against his buddies and against himself, I guess. And why didn't they remove Shmuel? And the Gemara is going to answer because he started it. He said v'la malshinim al tiyisikva, to the slanderers there should not be hope. But he didn't continue, he was stuck, so it's clearly a mistake, it's an error, he doesn't remember the text, they didn't have Sidurim, but he's clearly not trying to avoid the bracha. The question that I'd like to pose, just as an aside, if they legislated this blessing, and people were saying it day in, day out, how could it be that a year later they forgot it? I mean, what does that mean exactly, they forgot it? And what does it mean he was there for 2 or 3 hours? Shaos? Boy, talk about patience. Rabbi Lau at the Siyam HaShas commented that people are there for 4 hours, no food, and they're being patient. Can you imagine in a shul over here, 2-3 hours waiting for the chazan to get his words together? So one approach here is that it doesn't mean hours, and the word shaos means moments. But it seemed like an eternity. They're going, and he stops, he's mumbling, he's not sure what to say. And that would also be understood easily based on the way they davened, where they did daven with crying, with heartfelt plea, very emotional, and it could be that he said the fewest few words, and he broke down, and he couldn't remember exactly the words, but not for hours, for moments. And no one removed him, no one suspected him, because he started. And once he started, they weren't worried that he had broken ranks with traditional Jews. So let's look at the text, second line of the page. Amai lo ha'eluhu, why didn't they remove him? V'ha'omar Rav Yehuda, Rav Tov b'chol ha'brochas kulan ein ma'alim oso b'brichas ha'tzedukim ma'alim oso. Any brocha guy makes a mistake, you be patient with him. But if a person makes a mistake in the Birchas HaTzedukim, that's a vulnerable bracha. We know that there's some people who don't hold of it. And the Mishnah Berurah mentions what would be nowadays regarding the bracha of Mechaye HaMesim, because we know there's some Jews who changed the prayer book. What would it be with the bracha of Vili Rishalayim Ircha Barachamim Toshav about Mashiach and returning to Yerushalayim? We know that some Jews have trouble with that. What would be with such brachas? But that's this theme. Why didn't they remove Shmuel if he wasn't willing to say the bracha? So the Gemara has one approach, that Shmuel HaKatan was the one who legislated it, and we assume that the person who was that holy isn't going to go off the path. He's not going to go off the derech, and the Gemara questions that. That's not so clear that a person wouldn't go off the path. They say from Reb Zalman Volozhin that if a person has Torah in his family for generations, so then even if it skips a generation, Torah comes back. But they say from Reb Chaim Volozhin, Torah comes back, it knocks at the door, but if you refuse to open the door, it's gonna leave. What do you want? So that's a person who was good, he was on the right path, we assume he remains good, but that's not a foolproof verification that he's not deviating. And the Gemara, about a quarter of the way down at the end of the line, says, Shaini Shmuel HaKatan De'aschil Ba. Beginning of the next line. De'aschil Ba. Shmuel was different because he started. And that's the rule. As long as the person starts, V'lamalshinim al t'yisikva, even if he then has trouble with it, we don't have trouble with him. Then it's a regular thing. A guy loses his voice during davening. All kinds of cases. We have ways of, we put somebody else up if it's necessary. But we don't remove him because we need to remove him. We're patient with him. If he can clear his throat, no problem. And the same thing over here. He starts the bracha, he's okay. As long as he was able to start.
Was he able to remember at some point? Continue?
Valoha Eluhu, I guess eventually he got it back. Or they prompted him. According to my understanding of the word shows, that it doesn't mean hours, it was just a matter of moments, then it's just a question of what your first reaction is. Is your first reaction, so get out of here! You're having trouble with this bracha, get out of here! Or, your first reaction, once they understood, if it was already in place for a year, I would assume someone can prompt him, he regains his composure, stops the crying, whatever, so that he, whatever, and then he's on track. Yes, you could. Have a great day.